Hello, 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 and welcome to Navigating Preteen Ministry. It's Sam Beam as always, and I'm in my closet, because that's where recording happens. That's where stuff gets done around here. Anyways, I hope you guys are having an absolutely wonderful Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day you're listening, but statistically, most of you do listen on Thursday. So, hope your Thursday is great, whether you listen in your car, at home, at work, or whatever. It's still weird to me to think that people listen to my voice. Anyways, today I am super excited about our topic because it relates to me personally, and I think it relates to just all of us in general as, you know, ministers and pastors over children. So you've read the title, so you know what we're going to be talking about. But before we jump into that, today I want to talk about our shout out. Today's shout out is going to go to the Kids Matter Podcast Network. That's right. If you've been here any time, you've probably heard me shout them out before, but because it is such a great resource, if you like content like this and you're new here or whatever, you don't know what the Kids Matter Podcast Network is, go check it out. I'm going to have it linked in the show notes. It's basically just a bunch of other content creators, some titans like Ryan Frank or Amber Pike or other great content creators who are pushing out content about ministry, kids ministry, how to lead, how to serve, how to work with parents, all sorts of stuff like that. It is wonderful content that I think all of you guys can truly gain a lot from, especially if you are just now diving into podcasts, you found this one or whatever, you're like, oh, this is good, but there's more. Definitely go check it out, guys. I strongly encourage you to go give it a listen. Now, for today's story, we're going to be talking about Sam B, and this is going to tie in real well because Sam was always a weird kid. I would say a weird kid. I did things that no one else really did. I responded to certain things interestingly. I did stuff that was out of the ordinary compared to all of my peers. And it was something that I questioned myself a lot for, and about, as a kid. It's like, why am I different? Why do I feel like I'm acting, responding different? And it really plays into today. Today we're going to be talking about ADHD in our students, because the reality is it is a very real and pressing issue that all of us are probably experiencing. We're noticing that more and more kids just seem to have some of these characteristics that are found in ADHD. And so we're going to be talking about that today, some of my own personal feelings and relations to that, and then what and how as leaders we can deal with it. But before that, I want to jump into statistics. I'm a numbers guy. I like to get everything out so that we fully understand what's going on. And so if you don't know or you're unfamiliar with ADHD or you just don't know all of it, ADHD is characterized by problems with attention, impulse control, hyperactivity, and it has a bunch of other subset of, you know, different issues and different things, and it manifests in a lot of different ways. Maybe it manifests in hyper-focusing on a certain object. I would know nothing about that. Or just a lack of focus or desire to do anything at all. And in fact, it says that a large percentage of students that have ADHD also have other behavioral or emotional issues, anxiety, things like that. It says about 5 in 10 children with ADHD also have a behavior or a conduct problem, and 3 in 10 with ADHD have anxiety. And if you're wondering where I'm getting all of this, this is pulled straight off of the CDC data and statistics on ADHD. I'm going to be linking all of this stuff down below. Most of this content is not original Sam Beam thought, because I wanted to present you guys with a great, solid basis for you guys to take off with. And one more interesting statistic about ADHD is about 23% of children with ADHD who have been diagnosed are not receiving medical treatment or behavioral treatment, which really helps us change our perspective on dealing with students. The reality is ADHD is an issue, and it is one that is being more and more commonly diagnosed. And there's controversy about overdiagnosis and all of that, and I'm not here to get into that today, but I'm here to get in to just some of the realities that we're facing. From 1998 to 2016, it rose from about 6.1% of children to 10.2% of children with ADHD. which is pretty, that's a pretty large statistical jump over those few years. And I mean, the reality, 10% of students have been diagnosed with ADHD. If you think about that, 1 in 10 students have ADHD. If you've got 10 kids in your ministry, the reality is one of them probably has ADHD. Going back to that 23% ADHD, if you have 100 kids who are coming through your ministry, two of those kids have untreated ADHD. I have about 50, so you know, maybe one of my students on a Sunday is dealing with these feelings, these emotions, and this impulsivity or hyperactivity, and they have no outlet for it. They have nothing there to help them. So I say all of this because we, as pastors, are charged with loving and caring for these students. And so we need to figure out how we can do that. The reality is ADHD can be extremely frustrating and flustering and hard to deal with, but we have to learn how to do it because it is not an issue that is going away. In fact, it is one that is increasing and growing. And so we have to learn how to manage that instead of just let it frustrate us. Because I think one of the most common issues with ADHD that is faced, especially in the church, because we as pastors, we're not, you know, trained for this. We're not, we don't take all of the same courses that a teacher is going to take. We don't go through all the classes and learn about child psychology and stuff like that. You may have a little bit. I did in my, I took a youth family ministry bachelor. So you may have some of that knowledge. But the reality is a lot of us may come from a whole different background. And so when we encounter things like ADHD, a lot of us interpret it as behavioral issues. We interpret it as, you know, their mama ain't raised them right. Or we interpret it as, you know, they just need some guidance or whatever. And so when these issues keep on occurring, we tend to get frustrated, flustered, upset by them because they are a constant continuing issue. And the reality is it is an issue and it is a problem, but it is, as they define it, a chronic or long-lasting inattentiveness, hyperactivity, impulsive, whatever, that they are experiencing. It is chronic. It is something that they do not ultimately have control of. It is I don't even know the science, the neurons, the inhibitors, something, whatever. The reality is it is a chemical imbalance similar to things like depression or anxiety. They're not just like a feeling. They are a chemical imbalance. It's just, you know, whatever has happened, it is just, I don't know how to make that like clear and transparent, but I do want to make it realize that, you know, they're not just little turds. Sometimes it's like, God, they're such little turds. They're not little turds. They're not trying to. They don't mean to. And the reality is it is our job as pastors to love on them. Like I said, these characteristics, these traits of ADHD can often be seen as emotional or disciplinary problems, or sometimes they do get missed entirely in a quiet, well-behaved kid, someone who is good at following the rules and is quiet, but, you know, it manifests in many different ways, and in attentiveness and impulsiveness, along with hyperactivity. A lot of us think ADHD is just those kids that are everywhere, but for others, it can be different, like myself, I would say. I would characterize a lot in inattentiveness and impulsivity, as opposed to hyperactivity, though I do have my moments. Anyways, it's just, it manifests itself differently. So I've got 9 things that I've scoured the internet for on how we can work with these ADHD students to ensure that they are receiving the same love that every other student is, that they aren't hurt by the church, they aren't feeling left out. And this thing right here is very specifically for Sam Beam right now, and you guys are just getting to take it in because I've got several students in my ministry that have some pretty severe ADHD that is affecting my ministry. And so I have decided that I want to look into this. And like I said, this is Navigating Preteen Ministry, so you guys are walking along this beside me. And so this is some research I did for myself that I am now formulating into a podcast for you guys that hopefully you guys can take away some great information as well. So let's jump into some of these ideas and things we can do in our ministry that will help these students with ADHD, because the reality is we want to love them just as well as we love everybody else. just as Christ loved the church. So the first is to keep our expectations consistent. This is something that I really need to work on. The 4, 5, 6, our preteen ministry used to have rules up, and we would play a little thing for them so that students would get the rules every single day that they're in here. And I have not done that. And so expectations are kind of in the air. I mean, kids know, like, I should be quiet and I should be, you know, listening, but it's like, really, you know, I'm just going to kind of do what I want. So keep our expectations consistent for everybody, okay? It doesn't matter if it's your wild student or your quiet student. If they are breaking the rules, make sure that they are talked to and all of that. Another thing is limit distractions, and this kind of ties back into expectations. So point number 2 is limit the distractions in the room. And the thing is, if you are in a situation like I am where you have more than one student that is battling this ADHD thing, then what happens is sometimes they gravitate towards each other, and then they're just an infinite feedback loop, and it just it gets real pretty. It gets so fun. But limit your distractions. And this can tie back to your expectations, because a lot of times an ADHD student will notice if other people are being treated differently than they are. They'll notice that, and they'll want to speak up about it, or they'll want to talk to somebody about it. Be like, hey, what gives? Why is this happening? Yada, yada. So make sure your expectations are consistent for everybody to limit those distractions. And try and structure your service in a way that limits distractions as well. And that just means keeping students engaged so that they're not distracting each other, keeping your rules to help funnel students in and stay focused, and make sure that you have leaders in key positions. My leaders at this point have gotten good enough to know where a hot spot of distraction may be, and they'll go sit there, and they'll go, you know, if anything pops up, they're right there to talk with the students. So make sure you encourage your leaders to step in if they need to as well. That's one thing that I've run into as leaders. I feel like don't feel like they have the confidence or the authority to step in, when the reality is I want them to step in. The next thing we're going to look at, guys, is giving them feedback that is positive and negative feedback, essentially. Give them information on what they're doing and how it impacts the people around them. So if you have a student, I have one particular student who has pretty much ostracized himself from the group because he has just his ADHD manifests in a way that he just bounces around from people to people and ends up bothering them, frustrating them. And so last week I had a conversation with him, and I was like, hey, the way that you're acting is creating a division between you and the rest of the students, and I don't want that to happen. So let's find some ways that we can channel our energy, channel our focus, and give them feedback. And one of the things that I have found most beneficial, and this has come from my years in the Montessori training. If you don't know, I was a Montessori after-school teacher, which means I had to learn all the Montessori stuff for about 2 years. It was my favorite job before this. So I apply a lot of the Montessori principles into my everyday life. For me, it is giving these students tasks. I have found that the most helpful thing for you, if you have a student, especially like pre or post service, that's just running around, that just has, you can tell they're just aimlessly wandering, trying to find something to do, is give them a task. And it does not matter what, it doesn't matter how menial, most of the time they will say, okay, and they're doing that task, whether it's cleaning up, putting up tables, moving things around, whatever it is, they are almost always more than happy to go do that. So give them feedback and redirect that. Another thing, point number 4, is reward their good behavior. I do this a lot in positive affirmation. If I have a student that I know is struggling with ADHD or whatever, and they have a really good day, I tell them, like, yo, I saw that you found yourself an outlet, that you you found something to entertain yourself, you controlled some of those impulses. Like, I saw that you did good, and I really appreciate that. Like, just give them positive feedback. You don't have to give them a prize or a reward, but give them a positive feedback. Number 5 is give them a break. How are you giving your students a break in your ministry. So this particular point was pulled from a teaching website. I'm going to have both of those linked down below as well, the sources that I pulled these from. So in your ministry context, it's going to look a little bit different. Teachers have these students for hours on end, right? And so they need to give them a physical break. But for me, I try and give them a mental reset, essentially. What is something new that they can focus on? Because the reality is a student usually has about as many minutes of attention as they do years in their life, and I would cut that down by about 30% these days, and for an ADHD kid, maybe 60%. So if I've got a 10-year-old, they might have 3 minutes of focus in them. So what am I doing to reorient that focus every few minutes? So for you, this can look like a transition in your service. From game to worship or whatever. And especially in your teachings, it can be different transitions. Either you can do an object lesson that gets them to focus in on the object. On Wednesday nights, I like to try and have a video in the middle of my message because Wednesday night messages are usually a bit longer. And so I'll break that up with a video. So it's, you know, message, video, reset, back into the message, and let's dive in and finish up, right? And that gives them a mental break. So what are you doing to give your students a break? Number six, seven, five, I don't know. Use a tool for your students. Fidgeting is something that is very common in a ADHD student, and it can manifest in a lot of different ways. They can squirm, they can wiggle, or whatever. And sometimes, and it depends, you have to understand the context of your ministry, but sometimes tools can help. You know those little like poppets that have become really popular? I've got a bin of those, and sometimes I will hand those out to students who seem to have struggle moving around and fidgeting and whatever, because if they don't have something to fidget with, they'll move to somebody else, or they'll move to something else, and they'll be gone, right? So if you use a tool, it can be helpful. Issues arise if like another student's like, I want to pop it. And you know, they don't need to pop it. And then every kid wants to pop it, whatever. So figure out how to do that in a way that allows your ADHD students to get out some of the fidgeting into the things that they have without causing a distraction as well. And these are more ministry specific for you as a pastor. But for these ministry-specific ones, number one, guys, is don't take a child's behavior personally, okay? Like I said in the beginning, this is not something that they are totally in control of. It's stuff that they can work on and grow in, of course, but it is, these behaviors, especially at this age, are not something that they are consciously, like, making. Like, they're not like, I want to just distract the whole room and be a little turd. Right? No, they're not thinking that. And if they say something disrespectful or do something disrespectful, try not to take it personally. I know it's hard. And students' behaviors can really affect you. I've had many days where one or two students have really made or broken my day. And so I've been really defeated by them before. But remember that it is more than just their behavior. It is, like I said, chemical imbalances going on in their head that are causing these things. And so we cannot take it personally when a child behaves in a certain way. Number two is collaborate with parents. Something I try and do if I have a student that is acting up is talk about them, because a parent knows their students best. And so oftentimes they have their own methods and techniques that'll help them. If I have a student who has outbursts, gets frustrated really easy, I'll talk with a parent, and you know, a parent may be like, hey, so for him, we take him and we step out of the room and let him cool off or whatever. But collaborate with the parents, especially if they have a diagnosis and they know and they're aware, talk with them and, you know, maybe they're seeing somebody or whatever and figure out what works. Number three is make interruptions teaching moments. This is big. Corey Jones, if you know Corey Jones, is a master at this. Turning interruptions into teaching moments. Like I've said, one of the characteristics of ADHD is impulsivity. And so if you have that kid that always feels like they just have to yell out something in the middle of your message, and you're like, what? That's probably ADHD manifesting in that impulsivity, that they just yell out that they have to, whatever. So turn those into teachable moments. The other day, Corey got one of the students yelled out something, and Corey was like, hey, do you actually know the answer, or are you just yelling things out? And he's like, I'm just yelling things out. And Corey's like, well, then, if you're doing that, why don't you figure out the answer first before you yell anything out? Essentially, just flipping it out, talking out with a student mid-service, And, well, it worked. Corey is great at flipping these things around. He should do a masterclass on it. But last but not least, look beyond this behavior of the student and see the whole child, right? See what they can do. See what they're great at. Look at what they're really, really good at doing. Build them up in that area and understand that they are just like any other student in your room, and they want to be loved, and they want to be close to somebody, and they want to be heard. And we cannot, as pastors, dismiss that or ignore it because of how they behave. So I'm going to run through those one more time real quick for you guys, and then we will wrap up for today. Number one is keep your expectations consistent for all students. Limit the distractions in your room. Give these students feedback on whether or not their behavior is good or bad. And also be sure, if it's something that is not disruptive, don't draw attention to it because it's something they might repeat, or it's something that might cause a distraction that was not a distraction to start with. Number four is reward good behavior. Let them know when they've behaved well, and talk to the parents too. The reality is a lot of parents with these ADHD and behavioral issues, they hear a lot of negative about their kid, and so when they hear positive, it is a really impactful thing for them. So be sure to look for the good in those kids as well, and give them a mental break and reset during your service. Number seven, use tools to help funnel a child's focus into a specific object instead of the entire room. Eight is don't take a child's behavior personally. Nine is collaborate with parents. 10 is make interruptions teaching moments. And 11, look beyond behaviors to see the whole child. So that is it for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope y'all enjoyed. I know it was a good one for me. I enjoyed getting to dive into that. And with that, I'm going to see you guys Monday for our nugget. Peace.